My name is John. I'm a sinner. Now you say, hi, John. Because here we celebrate the recognition and public confession of personal inadequacy. Here, the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. And we've been learning together. So thinking about a realistic, actionable, non-legalistic, proven, transformational way of life to enter into. That's what a disciple does. You need to have a fellowship, a community, and you got to have a program. We're learning to use the 12 steps to do that. And the first step we've been coming to grips with, admitted, we're powerless over our ultimate problem, and our lives had become unmanageable. That's hopeless, and feeling that with deep pain is actually a great gift. If you have a wimpy step on, the rest of the 11 steps would be wimpy. But we're working on that. We're asking for God's help. And that leads not to step two. Step two is the step of hope. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would be able to restore us to sanity. Came to believe. This is hope, but it's hope that there is a power outside of me that can do what I cannot. I can't. I can do many things. I can't do ultimate things. I'm not God. I can't, but He can. I come to believe that. So I want to talk about came to believe today, that little phrase. I want to talk about the kind of faith that is needed, because it's not at all vague. It's actually quite focused and quite actionable. You need enough belief, you need enough faith to sustain you to continue to work the steps. That's the idea. It's like if you're going to do therapy, you must have sufficient faith that it's worth devoting myself to this as much as I'm able to, so that it's going to lead to something good. A scientist has to come to believe that it's worth following the scientific method to get empirical verification and that truth can actually be discovered. A parent has to come to believe that it's worth the heartache and the energy and the work and the... I was talking to a young parent yesterday who's got little kids that are at that age where they're starting to come out of the room many, 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 many times every night. They're trying to figure out, how do I keep this kid in there? And he finally did. He got this great, big, scary-looking goose that is stuffed from a taxidermist, like 3 feet high, set it outside the kid's door. Kid opens up the door, sees this giant goose, wah, goes back inside. It works. Kid will probably be in therapy for a while. But if you're a parent, you have to have sufficient faith to say to yourself, it's worth doing this work. Now, what happens in AA, again, we're going to talk about spiritual life for all of us, whether or not you have an identified addiction. What happens in AA is you come physically, you just come to a meeting. And what happens when you're there is you look at, oh, you used to be a drunk like me, but you're sober. You used to be a drunk, but you're sober. You used to be an addict, but you're sober. And then, so they'll say, I came to, I realized, oh, I have a problem like other people do, and I could be helped as other people have. And then I begin to experience God's power, God's freedom in my own life, and I come to believe. So I come, and then I come to. I am aware. I have a moment of clarity, and then I come to believe. It's very focused. The idea here is not you have to have a certain feeling of certainty or God's not going to answer your prayer. This is not about to what extent do you think it's probable that there is a God or that Jesus rose from the dead. Those are important issues to study and to come to grips with. But the particular faith that is needed for transformation is I need to have enough faith to keep coming back. Now, this is the case in a classic story of somebody who is coming to believe in the Bible, and it's in the Gospel of Mark. There's a man who is desperate, and he's powerless. His son is just dying, being tortured by a demon, physical torment. And so first he comes physically into the presence of Jesus. And he says, from childhood, my son has had this problem, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Of course, Jesus notices the if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." So he comes to the realization that he's got some faith, but not certainty, not as much faith as Jesus himself has. He comes physically into the presence of Jesus, and then he comes to the realization that he needs help on the faith front. So he asks Jesus. Now, this is our prayer for today, for step two. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. When you find yourself doubting, uncertain, resisting, help my unbelief. And then Jesus brings that healing, and the man comes to believe. I came to believe. Now, I want to show you how tightly this is connected to step one, wimpy step one, wimpy other 11 steps, and how these steps are woven into the way of life of spiritual communities and the writings of spiritually wise folks from way back when. So this is a little book called Prayer by O. Halsby. O. Halsby had thought a lot about prayer, part of what makes him a great contributor. He was also Scandinavian. That never hurts. But in this classic book on prayer, he talks about how prayer really involves two facets, two characteristics, and really our whole orientation to God involves these two. The first one, interestingly, is helplessness. Now, this is step one. Admitted we were powerless. This is what he writes. So interesting. Unquestionably, the first and surest indication of a praying heart. As far as I can see, prayer has been ordained only for the helpless. It is the last resort of the helpless, indeed the very last way out. We try everything before we finally resort to prayer. This is a spiritual giant who wrote these words. And this is not only true of us before our conversion. Prayer is our last resort also throughout our whole Christian life. I know very well that we offer many beautiful prayers, both privately and publicly, without helplessness as the impelling power. But I'm not at all positive this is prayer. Prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only the one who is helpless can truly pray. Listen to this, you who are often so helpless that you do not know what to do. At times, you do not even know how to pray. Your mind seems full of sin and impurity. He goes on, "I never grow weary of emphasizing our helplessness, for it is the decisive factor, not only in our prayer life, but in our whole relation to God." When Paul discovers his deep inadequacy and brings it to God and asks God, "Take it away, take this thorn in the flesh away," whatever it is, what he discovers is his inadequacy tethers him to God in a way that his adequacy never could. God says, "No, my grace is sufficient you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of meeting and compassion in the place of weakness. Quite fascinating. Somebody asked the great anthropologist Margaret Mead one time, when did humanity, the human race, begin to emerge? And she didn't talk about the discovery of fire, the invention of the wheel. She talked about finding a skeleton of a person who had had a broken femur that healed. Because she said it would take 6 weeks for that healing to happen. And that meant somebody had to care for that person. Somebody had to feed that person. That person was nothing but a drag on the community, but there was somebody that loved them enough to take care of them. And then I want to get this right. Here's what she wrote. "This kind of caring does not happen in the rest of the animal kingdom. Our way of coping with weakness, as much as our ingenious technologies and arts, is what sets us apart as a species." And of course, that is supremely true in the kingdom of God. I need a foundation that is deeper than my own power and my own strength. So, Halsby says that's the first characteristic of prayer, is helplessness. Now, the second one, interestingly enough, is faith. But he writes precisely about the problem a lot of people will have when they hear that, "Oh man, I don't believe enough, I'm not certain enough, I'm not confident." So he says, no. Prayer is not defined by a feeling of certainty or a sense of confidence. It is coming to Jesus. And he talks precisely about this man in Mark chapter 9. He had all kinds of doubts. He came to Jesus, and for Jesus, that was sufficient. Jesus did not say to him, when he gave the big if you can do anything. He said, well, sorry, you disqualified yourself. Not going to answer this prayer. You got to name it and claim it. You got to, no. The faith that he had was the faith to come. Here's a distinction O. Halsby makes that I just find terrifically helpful. He distinguishes between what he calls unbelief versus doubt. Now, you could choose different words. It's the concept that matters here. Unbelief is something very different from doubt. Unbelief is an attribute of the will and consists in a man's refusal to believe. That is, refusal to see his own need. I am powerless. I cannot manage my life. Acknowledge his helplessness, go to Jesus, and speak candidly and confidently with him about his sin and distress. Doubt, on the other hand, is an anguish, a pain, a weakness, which at times affects our faith. We could therefore call it faith distress, faith anguish, faith suffering, faith tribulation. Such faith illness can be more or less painful and more or less protracted, like all other ailments. But if we can begin to look upon it as suffering that has been laid upon us, it will lose its sting of distress and confusion, because it becomes one more piece of that helplessness that prompts us to say, God, I can't even have power over my own faith. I can't even manage my own confidence in you. I believe, help my unbelief. So I invite you, make that prayer your prayer today. Come. Now you've already come. Just come and become new. It's like we come here to hear these words again. Come to a place that will help you, just like an AA meeting will help somebody. Oh yeah, you were like me and you got sober and you got sober. Come to stories like this in Mark 9 in the Bible. Come to creation, come to nature and look at all God has done and be reminded of what a great God God is. Come to a friend. One of the reasons that I believe is I got to know a man like Dallas, and I know that Dallas saw what I don't yet see, but what I hope to see. And he's way smarter than me, so he can see it. There's hope for me to see it one day. And it is more worth trying to follow a way of life that he followed than any other way of life that I know. Come to whatever place will fill you with that kind of hope, vision, and confidence. I think about a streaming show, not a particularly redemptive show. I won't even name it by name, that my wife was watching, and there was an arc of a character who was just dark and unredeemed and then was converted. I don't know in this show that they used this language for it, but experienced a change of heart that whether or not we know, whether or not we name, only comes from God. And it was deeply inspiring to her. We came to believe. We came to believe. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series, Steps, which is based on John's new book releasing February 4th by the same name, Steps. So if you're catching this video before February 4th, you might want to pre-order the book. You can do that at our website, becomenew.com/steps. And when you pre-order, it will unlock exclusive content from John just for you. While you're there, you can subscribe to Become New to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series or any other videos that we do. As a community, we believe in spiritual growth one day at a time, and a big part of that is prayer. There's a team of us that meets each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a specific prayer request, we would love to pray with you. You can text it to us to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.